If you need a title for tonight, simple title, give what you have. No, we're not going to receive another offering. Give what you have. Let's go to Acts, the third chapter. We'll read a familiar portion of Scripture. I don't think I'm going to be standing on the pulpit and shouting and yelling tonight. Sorry. Those that were just visiting, that's what I normally do, and then halfway through the message, I leap out. No, don't worry. Only kidding. Acts 3, the well-known story. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus, the Messiah of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Verse 6 again, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus, the Messiah of Nazareth, walk." In 1990, I had been at a conference in California. A friend of mine was ministering there and encouraged me to come to the conference. So I was there, and we're coming back from the airport. We're flying out of Anaheim, or L.A., I forget where it was. And I was talking to another brother I had met at the conference. He was working with one of the men who had spoken there. We had never done any ministry together, just friends that had met there. And a man came up to us that was apparently deaf. By the way, this is not a big miracle story, okay? Came up to us and indicated he was deaf and had one of those cards, you know, that show you basic deaf sign language. And, you know, they give you the card and you're supposed to give them $1 or $2 or something like that, right? So I went and just kind of stood behind the guy and said something and talked. And it's clear he couldn't hear anything. There was no response in any way. And the fellow I was with, who now lives and ministers locally here, has been to Fire and spoken for us. He said, "Well, let's pray for this guy. I mean, he's deaf. Come on, we're men of God. We're full of the Spirit. Jesus the healer lives in us. Let's pray for him." So by all means, of course, let's do it. So we, you know, showed him scripture in the Bible about prayer and healing. Okay, you know, he understood. So we went to pray for him. Nothing happened. So I said to this brother, I said, "Well, then let's give him money." I said, if we don't have any healing power, at least we can give him money. It's the exact opposite of Acts, the third chapter, but I learned the principle there. You know, give what you have. I wish I had a great miracle story to tell about that particular encounter, but that's the way it happened. By the way, it was Steve Thompson from Morningstar that was with me. We had both met there, and at least we went for it and prayed for the guy. Perhaps he was healed when he left, and we never got to hear the testimony. That's probably what happened. But the serious thing I want to talk to you about is very, very practical. And if you'll put it into practice, radically life-changing and potentially world-changing. Give what you have. I've often said to believers, you can't give what you don't have, right? I can't impart something to you that I myself don't have. You know, we have this notion we can lay hands on people and they'll get a double portion. Well, there's something strange about that, because that would mean you're giving something you don't have. That if I have $10, I can give you 20. And if Steve has 20, he can give his wife, Saber, 40. It doesn't work like that. You can't give what you don't have, right? You can't call someone into something you're not experiencing. You can't say, "Hey, come join me in the water," if there's no beach around. course, if you are going to the beach, you should be clothed in a godly way, just to qualify that. We are at fire here. But, I've said those things. You can't give what you don't have. You can't call someone into something you're not experiencing. You can't set others free if you yourself are bound. Okay, but conversely, what you have, you can give. What you have, you can give. What I mean is this. Many of us have grandiose plans about all the extraordinary things we're going to do for God in the future. We have dreams, we have visions. Many in the school of ministry come with a certain dream or vision, and God may have put that in you. When you got saved, there may have been something within you, and you want to see things happen beyond yourself, or just as simple as, look, it's in the Word, it should happen. It's in the Word, I should see certain things happen. And many of us tend to live in tomorrow. Many of us tend to live in such a way that we're waiting for this great opportunity, waiting for the doors to open. The biblical principle I shared on some months back from Luke 16 is, if you're faithful with little, then you'll be faithful with much. Is that a call? If it's for me, tell them I'm busy, okay? Oh, no, could it be? If they're calling 866-34-TRUTH, it could be for me. It could be someone tracking me down from the radio show. Okay, we'll just wait. Well, you don't feel embarrassed. Don't feel embarrassed at all. I was in Detroit one time, and someone on the worship team, their phone started ringing, and it didn't. Somehow it just never went to answer. And it was in a pocketbook on the platform. If you're faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. If you're faithful with natural things, then you'll be faithful with spiritual things. If you're faithful with that which belongs to someone else, then you'll be faithful with that which is your own. What's the principle? Tomorrow doesn't exist. Tomorrow will never come. The only thing that you have right now is today and your present life. And what you have, you can give. You know, many of us are looking for that break in schedule where we could just go after God day and night. Or we're looking for this, if we could just be in this environment and really pursue the Lord, or this or that. And years can go by and that never happens. And yet in the course of a day, 5 minutes here gets wasted, 10 minutes here gets wasted. We get distracted with this, with this, with this, with this. And if we could just start where we are. Remember, we're talking about spiritual principles. If we could start with the obedience we can give. Oh, I want to see the dead raised. Oh, okay. That's a wonderful goal. But it may begin it may begin more subtly and less spectacularly than that. Man, I want to get up and preach. I'm telling you, I see the day I'm going to preach and like a million people are going to get saved in a week. It's possible. It's possible. God uses people like that. That does happen. That's the power of the gospel. But what you have today is the ability to be a witness to a neighbor or to a friend. What you have today is the ability to be an influence for godliness where you are. It's really simple. I mean, you want to know how this region could be revolutionized? With this little group of people here in a little building, I mean, as far as not a mega building, okay? And we're not thousands of people here or multiplied hundreds. This little group of people, not even our whole fire community, this little group of people simply determine, I'm going to give what I have. I'm going to take what I have, and I'm going to give it. You know, as I'm on the radio now, just our first 10 or 11 stations, there's something within my heart that God's put there in terms of a vision of speaking to many more people on a daily basis and being on stations across the country, etc. Something I believe he's called me to do. Whatever pleases him is what I want to do. It's not a personal ambition thing. But the bottom line is that the one thing I have is that 1 hour when I'm on and whatever time just preparing or thinking about what I'm going to talk about or do on that show, that is what I do have. The idea of if I get to this mega moment, you know, if just you get an emergency call, I don't know, Rush Limbaugh is sick today, can you fill in? We don't know who you are, but can you fill in? You know, you happen to be home, you know, and decide to visit this mega church. You know, they have 11 Sunday services with 4,000 people each, you know, and, you know, you come strolling in and say, we don't know who you are, but could you do all 11 services? We just feel that the Lord has a word through you. You know, it's nice to kind of live there, but the bottom line is, what I have, I've got to give over completely, entirely, 100% to God. It's not just the principle of faithful in little, faithful in much. There's a different angle. Give what you have in the course of a day. Most of us don't have hours and hours and hours just to break away from life and seek the face of God. Most of us don't have hours and hours and hours every single day just to be immersed in the Word and worship. Most of us don't have that ability. Most of us don't have hours and hours and hours to be going on the streets sharing the gospel. But conversely, most of us in the course of a week waste an extraordinary amount of time. In the course of a week, let our minds get occupied with all kinds of non-essentials. And even if God promotes us and moves us forward, the fact is we'll be at a fraction of the place that we could be in God. I mean, just hear a few verses from Scripture that speak of how we should live. Take a look in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. I don't want to wear you out with quotes you've heard before, but Watchman Nee was the one who said, by the time the average Christian gets his temperature to normal, everybody thinks he's got a fever. It was Leonard Raven who said the church has been subnormal for so long that when it finally becomes normal, everyone thinks it's abnormal. As I've often said, what the world calls fanaticism and most of the church calls extremism, God calls normal. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Look, I just had a stop at a store to pick something up earlier, and there was a young lady at the cash register, and just her nose was really stuffed, and I said, you know, you got a cold? She says, yeah, I got a cold. I'm really fighting it, and then I'm fixing to go up north from here. She was a southerner. And, it's just a cold, and it's going to pass away anyway. But, you know, just at that moment, the only issue was, well, I should pray for her. You know, and I asked her, well, you know, do you believe that Jesus heals colds? Yeah, well, before I leave her, I'm going to pray. She seemed a little uneasy. I mean, I had to wrestle her down and hold her there while the security came. No, I just said, hey, let me just take 10 seconds before I leave here. You know, just take my hand. I just pray. The bigger issue even at that moment was not, was she healed? And I prayed believing that God would touch her and accelerate the healing in her body. Again, it's not a life-threatening thing. But the bigger thing was that it was that moment to be obedient. You know what I'm saying? That was the only issue. It wasn't, I'm going to come in here. I'm sorry I'm late, but I was driving up and down the streets looking for an accident so I could raise someone from the dead. That's not reality. The reality is here's, you know, a gal with a cold at Walgreens. Even if she was healed, that wouldn't make it into the book of Acts. But make the most of every opportunity. That was a little thing, but just give that. Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And then, listen, this is normal life. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's just normal life. Who would have time to gossip, criticize, speak judgmentally, complain if we follow that? Give what you have. How many conversations do we have in the course of a day that are not edifying? That are both unessential and unedifying. I don't mean you're a salesperson, you have to do this in your job. You know, you're homeschooling your kids, you have to explain and teach certain things, and it can be a little dull. No, I'm talking about the conversations that we choose to have. The optional communication is not to put some kind of religious trip on us, it's to call us higher. To say, you know, it's really, we're supposed to be different. Let me read this again. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I still remember with the pastor of the church I was saved in, he took me along with him one night to visit this couple. Their daughter had kind of gone crazy, and they took in her kids, so they were older with little kids. It was very difficult for them. Just kind of a heavy setting when we went over there. And the pastor ministered to them and prayed and so on. And then, you know, we were walking out the door to the car, and he was walking ahead of me. I still remember, you know, just kind of being astonished as he skipped to the car, whistling and singing. I mean, just full of the joy of the Lord. You know, we're kind of a heavy situation, but he ministered, and then just thought, I haven't seen a grown man skip in my recent memory. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Give what you have. Colossians, the third chapter. Colossians chapter 3, just lifestyle. Verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Even just having an attitude of thanksgiving and praise and gratitude just through the day, and just often thanking, often stopping. Just you say, I can't do it all the time. Well, give what you have. Something's better than nothing, isn't it? Going in the right direction is better than just being stalled somewhere. And then you develop a certain momentum, and things become lifestyle. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Give what you have. See, this is stuff that everybody can do all the time. This is not the super saint and the super platform with the super anointing, doing super exploits for God before they destroy their ministry with a sex scandal. We had enough of that. It's just everyday life as believers. Give what you have. It's amazing what would happen if we redeem the time through the day. Again, I know some people get legalistic with it, but the amazing thing is that Paul doesn't need to stop after every one of these verses and say, and by the way, don't get legalistic about this. It's amazing, isn't it? All through the New Testament, all the calls to holiness and purity and sacrifice and action, they're not constantly interspersed with, and by the way, don't take this to an extreme. By the way, be balanced about this. I mean, it is interesting, isn't it? That we're constantly trying to put in qualifiers where God saw no need to. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Give what you have. Forget about tomorrow, not in terms of planning, not in terms of working towards goals, but forget about tomorrow in terms of having your sights set on it. Here you are today. Bless you. You're welcome. See, even that, you just take the moment, redeem the moment, speak grace to someone. Bless all of you. Instead of thinking about all the stuff we're going to do in the future, look, I can live in that too because I've got so many things going on and, you know, there's whatever the ministry is going to be tomorrow and things on the plate for tomorrow and then next week being in California and doing the TV shoots for the broadcast, and then after that going to India. And all of you, you've got things going on and plans and future goals. That's wonderful. But today is what we have. Today is where we live. All the exhortations in Scripture are about today. Does God ever in the Word say, now do this yesterday? No. It's today, which is where we live. Give what you have. You'd be amazed at what would happen if you just make this determination. I'm going to give myself to God in fasting. I'm going to give myself to God in prayer. I'm going to give myself to God in witness. I'm going to give myself to God in obedience in the little things I'm going to redeem 5 minutes here. I'm going to redeem 20 minutes here. I'm going to redeem a night here. I'm going to redeem this time. Okay, I don't have to be online doing this and that. You know, as you're sitting there making your Facebook entry, I'm sitting at the computer making a Facebook entry. You know, you think, wait, I don't have to be doing that right now. There's no command. Now that all these social networks exist, as I was sharing with the third year the other day, there is no command that has gone out through the universe. Thou must share. I said, thou must, thou shalt. Thou shalt and must share every detail of your life with every human being all the time. There is no command that has gone forth through the world. Or you are required to know what everyone else is doing all the time. Whatever social benefit there is, my humble guess is that most of the time online in these settings, about 90% of it is wasted in terms of being redeemed or used for a good purpose. Yes, there is a purpose to just being social, and we need relationships, and especially people in different parts of the world that can't connect. There can be great benefit. We understand that. But if we just had a different orientation, come on, look at it like this. Look at it like this. You're walking through the grocery store. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but women are often more systematic in grocery stores than men. And sometimes, you know, I'll go to a store with Nancy or something, and we just got to pick a few things up. Yeah, let's just go to the store on the way home or something. But she may just want to do something systematic, which is, you know, just make sure we don't need anything else and walk through a few more aisles and get, while we're there, get what we need. Whereas to me, why do it today when you can do it tomorrow, you know? The other day I was on the phone with her. The other day I was on the phone, and we were just talking about things, and I had to just pick up light bulbs. It's for my desk, so I needed them. And walking through the store, because we're talking, you know, I'm just thinking, I don't know where these light bulbs are. But so I'm just kind of strolling around the store, just walking, strolling around the store. And then I said, I'm just going to go up, down every aisle until I find it, you know, whatever, and just, because it was not a heading. I mean, what's the world coming to? It was not a heading there. You know what I should have done? I should have pulled out my phone right then and told Nancy, I'll call you right back and text it. I'm looking for light bulbs at the store. Put it on some social network somewhere. No, I'm frustrated that I can't find light bulbs. That's it, because I have to have a little emotion with it. Okay, so you get the picture, strolling through the store, just walking up and down aisles. What if it was one of these shopping spree things? You know, you had 20 minutes to go through, you know, a fancy electronics store and pick up everything you could in 20 minutes. Would it be the same kind of thing, chatting on the phone, walking, strolling, or just moseying down the aisles? Or would you, you know, scan the place first and then run? And the most expensive of everything you could get, as many carts as you could, and you'd be looking and racing to the second, right? Our lifestyle in God should resemble that more than just taking a walk in the park. No, I'm not talking about some oppressive kind of thing where, you know, if we're not running hard, we're condemned. I'm talking about redeeming the time. I'm talking about making the most of every opportunity. I'm talking about, hey, especially if we're burdened with the state of the world, especially if we're in a situation where we really want to make our lives count. It's like, I want to redeem the time. God knows how to give us times of rest, seasons of rest. In fact, it's built into the Word in terms of a lifestyle. Seasons of rest. And I know that some people will take this to an extreme. Okay, fine, then we'll counterbalance it. We'll pull it back a little bit. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. And remember, your life here is more valuable than a shopping spree. And what you do with the years that you have is far more important than what you can grab in a shopping spree. And most of us, I would dare say, are massive spiritual underachievers in terms of potential in God. And like Moody said, for every one Christian that dies of overwork, 10,000 die of laziness. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Just the lifestyle, the mentality, the mindset. Let me read a quote to you from William Booth. He said, if there is anything of power in my ministry today, it is because God has all the adoration of my heart, all the power of my will, and all the influence of my life. Read that again. If there is anything of power in my ministry today, it is because God has all the adoration of my heart, all the power of my will, and all the influence of my life. Robert Murray McShane, let the Holy Spirit fill every chamber of your heart, and so there will be no room for folly or the world or Satan or the flesh. Tozer, the true follower of Christ will not ask, if I embrace this truth, what will it cost me? Rather, he will say, this is truth. God, help me to walk in it, let come what may. So I want to encourage you. The vision in my heart is a large vision locally and around the world. The vision in many of your hearts is a large vision in terms of what you want to see God do, or the revelation of God that you want to walk in, or how you want him to work through you, or what you believe he wants to do through the church. And I think it's only proper that worshipers of God have large visions, that those who believe the word have large visions, that those who bow down before Jesus as Lord and are filled with the Holy Spirit have large visions. So what's the key? Give what you have. Give what you have. Take your own life where it is. Use it for the glory of God. Those of you that tend to be hard on yourselves and beat yourselves, do what you do out of enjoyment in the Lord. Do what you do out of a sense of gratitude and thankfulness. And if you find yourself doing it in a slavish kind of way, step back and just worship. Yeah, and they're living in this world, there are times you sit down and hang out. We understand that. You know, when we went for Andrew's fifth birthday party, aside from the fact that I didn't want to lose to my son-in-law in miniature golf, not because I cared personally in a competitive way, but it hurts me to see him gloat. Our goal that day was fun, to have fun with the family. And the first time around in the go-kart, I was in the faster go-kart, and we did win. And then the second time, you got me to crash, and they had to pull me off the wall there. But please hear me. Most of us, our problem is not that we don't know how to hang out. All right? That's not the problem for most of us. Most of us, the problem is not we don't know how to go out and have a meal together or be social or be silly or play games. And strangely, in the entire Bible, I find very little exhortation about those things. No one has to exhort us to be average. No one has to stir us to apathy. No one has to move us to inaction. Okay? We need to be moved and stirred to redeem the time, to redeem our lives. Give what you have. We have Sunday night prayer. We have early morning corporate prayer. We have all kinds of outreaches. We have ministries in front of abortion clinics. We have all kinds of things going on. We have families that would love to get out if they had babysitters. We have needs to work with children in different ways. 24 hours, there's an open heaven. Give what you have. Okay, there we were at the airport. For whatever reason, God's healing power was not manifest through us, through our unbelief or whatever the situation was. We had a few dollars. At least we can give that. Well, listen, you have something far more valuable than a few dollars. So I want to encourage you, wherever you are, be obedient. Walk in the light that you have. Give what you have. And you'll be amazed. A little goes a long way. A little, a lot, produces amazing results. You know, the tortoise and the hare, you know, just stay with it. Just stay with it. Just stay with it. Just keep persevering. Just keep moving forward. One step at a time, in obedience, in obedience, in obedience. Keep praying. Keep lifting it up. Stay determined. That water will wear down the rocks. Something will happen. And then God will jet propel you into places you never knew you could go. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Aaron, why don't you come on back up?